old classic from Bob Marley. I just recently went to watch his new movie out in the theaters. It's called One Love. Came out on February the 14th on Valentine's Day. I had the privilege to watch that movie last week, and I loved it. I wished it was longer. It was only an hour and a half. I knew that they had shot about 4 hours of film time. An absolutely amazing job done by the actors. I thought it was an amazing movie to watch. I would definitely watch it again. I would definitely recommend the audience, whoever's listening in, to watch One Love, a tribute to Bob Marley. Therefore, we're going to start this lovely Wednesday morning in Montreal with a classic from Bob Marley. Let me know if you love this song. So amazing how his music till today speaks volumes. He died at the age of 37, 38, 36 ish. Not very old, lived a young life, lived a very impactful life. And till today, Bob Marley is influencing a lot of people through his music, through a lot of his teachings, a lot of his words. It's so awesome to know that an icon from the past still lives on to today. Quite unfortunate that we associate. And I'm guilty of this too, is that we know we associate Bob Marley with the notion of using recreational cannabis. And that's been a big notion for my generation in particular. I think watching this movie gave me a lot of insight as to who this person was, his importance within Jamaican politics at the time, and his importance around the world. Really, really a human being who lived life beyond our everyday struggles of a job, of living a life that is meant to be successful in a sense, in a materialistic sense. And he saw all of that. He saw beyond all of that. So it's really awesome to know that. And I want to go back to the music, but I just wanted to share that insight with y'all. We'll be right back.
I get the model girl tall. Put that body on call. I took the honey on top. I put the money on top. I put the money on. That she falling in love. Say she feeling my G. She feeling my style. She loving my touch. Take it low. Your waist is taking over. Baby girl, rotate. Baby shoulder. Let's give them. Sick class. I love it when you move it like that. Ain't never seen nobody do it like that. She give me body, make her one more. Yeah, she be the queen of the dance floor. Yeah, anything that you don't want, y'all. Baby girl, you know it's all up. Sissy, come over. Just with skin like mocha. I see you for poster. Body shape, Coca-Cola. Just keep going. I get the model girl tall. Put that body on call. I took the honey on top. I put the money on top. I put the money on. Says she falling in love. Says she feeling my G. She feeling my style. She loving my touch. I get the model girl tall. Put that body on call. I took the honey on top. I put the money on top. I put the money on. Says she falling in love. Says she feeling my G. She feeling my style. She loving my touch. Take it low. Your waist is taking over.
As much as I love this song, I just wanted to share a small piece of news for y'all, particularly to do with sports. I know I cover sports every week. This time I'm going to keep it short and simple because of how happy I am and satisfied I am with the amount of sports that I've watched this week. But I want to say congratulations to Liverpool as they beat Chelsea at the Carabao, also known as a League Cup final. They had a lot of youth academy players and it just showed a lot of resilience on their part of the team. It was so awesome to see the passion that Liverpool fans showed during that final and as they beat Chelsea for the second time in the last 3 years for the League Cup final. I'm a Liverpool fan, as you might understand through me letting you know about this piece of news. I love Liverpool. I think it was an amazing match, and it was so good to see our captain Virgil van Dijk score the winning goal. So just wanted to put it out there. Just wanted you guys to know that Liverpool beat Chelsea in the League Cup final. They're the champions for the Carabao Cup. It's Jurgen Klopp, their famous manager. It's his last season, so it's super special to know that he's not going empty-handed. He's going to come to end with his story with Liverpool with at least one trophy. Back to the music.
Me holiday. It's a spicy baby. Johnny leave me for Cynthia. And I don't know what to do. I need to say I know do one. Like the way Cynthia they do. Johnny give Uche Bele. Talk say you want marine and then walk him can be meme. Johnny Mo, Johnny Mo. I'm looking for my Johnny. If I know see my Johnny, I'm looking for my Johnny, I'm looking for my honey. You're telling me this, you're telling me that. I say this is not for me. Johnny do me corny, Johnny do me corny. He's doing me this, he's doing me that. But I know what's him on me. He go Canada, he go Tokyo. Yesterday he say he de Morocco. He dance the sicko, he sing a willow. Na lie, na lie, na Pinocchio. This one original Gobe. See me see wahala. Johnny leave me follow Cynthia. And I don't know what to do. I need to say I know do one. Like the way Cynthia they do. Johnny give Uche Bele. Talk say you want marine and then walk him candy for them. Johnny Mo, Johnny Mo. I'm looking for my Johnny. Ayakata. Where is my Johnny? Johnny Mo. Do you know Johnny? Question. I know see my Johnny. He get the dollar, he get the hummer. He dey drink for me with patience and Jonah. He get to Rondo, he get to Koto. Oh, they lie, he dey show Koto. This one I go, baby, yeah. Original Gobe.
I hope you guys are loving the music so far, because I know I am. A super energetic start to the show. So far, we have Coach Rome coming in about 15 to 20 minutes. We're going to have him on for a 30-minute interview and speak about living a healthy lifestyle. That's coming up. But before we get to that, I just want to speak a little bit about some local news in Montreal. My show will never be complete unless I speak about the news a little bit. We have to get a little political. That's almost a given. And for the first piece of news, we're going to talk about a strike that's been going on for 4 months. Quebec is super famous for being known for the number of protests and strikes that take place in the city. And honestly, I'm with it. There's a lot that the provincial government can do to ease quality of life in Quebec. And one of those strikes have been going on for 4 months. In particular, some 350 drivers with Autobus Transco have been on an unlimited strike since October the 31st, 2023. The bus provider supports around 15,000 students on the island of Montreal and supports them, gets them to school and so on. And it's been about 4 months that this strike has been going on. Parents are super frustrated with the provincial government, hoping for them to make some progress on this deal with the autobus drivers. It's something that's affecting so many students. And something that should have been dealt with a long time ago, to be honest. But given the number of problems we have in Quebec currently, this is just another one on the stockpile, and hopefully does get resolved pretty soon. Next on the agenda with news, we're going to keep it short and simple, but we know AI is integrated with about everything. But now AI is integrated with our fast food chains. Wendy's is one of the first fast food chains within Canada to adopt AI surge pricing with their menu. So they're about to leverage AI technology and use surge pricing as a way to price their products, to price their food within their fast food chains all around the country. And hopefully we understand this to be a positive impact and a positive use of AI with fast food chains and their pricing. Hopefully not something that affects us negatively in the long run, despite the short-term excitement of it being an AI-leveraged technology within almost like an everyday use kind of thing. So that's it for news for me. I'm going to keep it pretty short this episode. We have a lot to speak about with Rome. I'm going to go back to WizKid, and hopefully everyone's loving the show so far. We're going to go into our first ad break of this session, and right after our ad break, we'll be back with Coach Rome.
Louis Dafferty presents two exceptional events in Montreal. The virtuoso Gambian choir player Sana Jabarte on March 8th at the National, and the iconic Malian singer Umo Sangare on April 21st at MTELUS. Take advantage of a special offer by visiting festivalnuitdafrique.com.
DJ Spino. Fireball.
I love you, fight kung fu, but I go fight for you. Jeez. I got my eyes on you. You got vibes on you. I know if you die for you.
Ladies.
But I'll live my life for you. I got my eyes on you. You got vibes on you. Jack, I lost it. We could go on a vacation. Have fun, maybe all night long. Jack, I lost it.
Have Coach Rome in the building. We're going to start our interview in about 5 minutes or so. I hope you all have been waiting patiently for this interview to start. There's a lot to speak about living a healthy lifestyle, understanding his role and position in life as someone who supports others with their mental well-being and physical well-being. So there's a lot to get together with. I hope you all have been loving the music so far. In about 5 minutes, we'll get Coach Rome on this.
I know for shout, big back like Nicki Minaj. Anytime she turn around, she got me over. I see the back, I know the doubt. The headlight, the steady flash. Come give me that, kitty cat. You turn me into a love. I say wait, you must become my lady. Oh yeah, you drive me crazy. Yeah, I can't explain this feeling.
My sweet, oh baby, my sweet, oh baby. It's all on the spice of my lover. The way you shaking and yes, baby, girl, you give me fire. Girl, your body, girl's fire. Girl, you give me the fire. Girl, your body, girl's fire. It's all on the spice of my lover. The way you shaking and yes, baby, girl, you give me fire. Girl, your body, girl's fire.
You must become my lady.
Oh yeah, you drive me crazy. Yeah, I can't explain this feeling. See, yeah, my Soweto, baby. My Soweto, yeah.
You call on the pulse of my lover. The way you shaking and yet, baby girl, you give me fire. Girl, your body girl's fire. Girl, you give me the fire. Girl, your body girl's fire. How long has passed on my lover? The way you shaking and yet, baby girl, you give me fire. Girl, your body gets fire. Girl, you give me the fire. Girl, your body gets fire.
Ah, yeah, twat. Tumbas on the abab. Ah, yeah, cat. That's a hawk as a tal. Ah, some a cat. It puts a ring of sawan. Let it come with it on my was. It put no matter what about that.
I love you. Yeah, when you know the. I de miss you. Yeah, when you know the. I go be your mother when you need me. Yeah, when you know the. I de need you. Yeah, when you know the. I say, wait. You must become my lady. Oh, yeah. You drive me crazy. I can't explain this feeling. See, yeah, my Soweto, baby.
My Soweto, baby.
You call on the pulse of my lover. The way you shaking and yet, baby girl, you give me fire. Girl, your body gets fire. Girl, you give me the fire. Girl, your body gets fire.
My Soweto, baby. Baby, why you shine? Baby, oh, yeah, so balata. Baby, why just say it? Baby, why just ask me that? Baby, why just say it? Baby, oh, yeah, so balata.
Welcome back to episode 4 of Beats and Beyond with Ari Najani. We have Coach Rome in for today. Coach, can you hear us, Rome?
Yeah, I hear you good.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Rome, for being here today. I know you're a busy man. You help a lot of people. You help yourself. And it's a pleasure to have you in the studio today. So what is your everyday look like? I know you're up and early. You're here and at 9 a.m. I got you up super early in the morning. But what's your daily schedule like? Are you up at this time in the morning?
Well, my schedule, it varies. But most of the time, I'm up at, let's say, 5, 6 in the morning.
Okay.
Once I'm up at 5, meditate for 30, 45 minutes, hit the gym if I'm not too tired. And then after that, it's just client check-in after client check-in after client check-in.
Okay, so are these client check-ins mostly like done over the phone, done online, or are you meeting people physically?
Not everything's online.
Everything's online.
Yeah.
And do you prefer it that way?
Yeah, like I did personal training for over 10 years, which is like,
oh, wow,
a lot of work, you know, so you're working with different people. I love it, but I like the freedom of traveling more.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
I like that work from home.
Right.
And if I want to go to Toronto tomorrow, I can just get up and leave. And I can still work as long as I have a computer and laptop. As long as I have a computer and my phone, I'm good to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. I know this might be personal, but that's the point of this. I want to get into your thoughts and your daily life and your understanding and what motivates you, really. But I just want to ask, is this your full-time gig? Like, is this what you do on an everyday basis?
Yeah, it's full-time.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's respect. I understand that it's been your passion. I've known you for a little bit. We haven't spoken in depth about what you do.
Yeah.
But I just want to know more about your passion for supporting people through this process. I know you have food nutritionist or food expert or something on your Instagram bio, and then I've been referring to you more as a health and lifestyle coach. Mm-hmm. But I want to know from your perspective and your words, how do you classify yourself?
Good question. Someone asked me that the other day. I look at myself as a health coach first.
Okay.
Yeah. Mindset is just, I did certain things to change my life.
Yeah.
And those things people seem to gravitate towards.
Yeah.
And whenever I give people advice, they say, this is what worked for me. I don't know if it'll work for you.
Right.
But somehow when people do what I did when I got results, when they do it, they seem to get same results as me.
Okay.
So it's like somehow life is pushing me towards becoming more of a mindset and nutrition and health coach at the same time.
Okay.
But I think the two go together, because if you have good nutrition, you also have to take care of your mind.
Right.
You could be super positive, but if you're super overweight, the two don't balance.
The two don't balance.
Yeah, so I think together they actually merge.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I want to know more about how this became a full-time gig. I know passion can go beyond bounds of your everyday lifestyle kind of situation.
Yeah.
But was there something you were doing before this? And how did you pivot and transition into what you're doing today?
Okay. So I've always been a health and wellness kid.
Okay.
I was that kid who played sports but hated school.
Yeah.
So I go straight, bro.
There are a lot of kids like that.
C's, D's, F's. So I always liked sports. I never liked school. But
okay.
I come from Africa, Zambia.
Yeah.
And they're so big on education is the most important thing.
Right.
But it just never gravitated. It never worked for me. So I remember when I moved to Montreal,
yes.
I always had this thing. I was a personal trainer. That's what I was focused on doing. And then I moved to Montreal. I got into network marketing, which was selling like supplement programs.
Okay.
And one of my mentors said something I'll never forget. He said, if you don't make it in the health and wellness field, at the time we're selling like products for weight loss, he's like, you never make it anywhere in life. Now, that moment might not mean a lot for everybody, but that was the first time someone ever told me, you're meant to do health and wellness. Because he had just met me, I'd say, 5 minutes into a conversation, and
wow.
He knew that I was meant to do health and wellness, which I knew, but I never believed in myself.
Right.
Because I'm like, who am I? I'm just a kid from Zambia. Like, I don't think I'm meant to do this.
Yeah.
But I tried doing other things, like going to Forex trading, but somehow God life pulled me back into fitness.
Right.
I tried this, somehow I'd always get back into fitness. The next thing I noticed was people just naturally came to me to ask for advice, and I just told them what I was doing, and they always got results with that.
Interesting. Yep. So just to cut you off, I know you said a mentor told you that you were into health and wellness. Was there something maybe a client might have told you that maybe sparked your reiterated the fact that you're in the right path and you're doing the right thing?
I just always loved it. You know, when you just can't explain why you love something?
Yeah.
It's always just been in me. Since I was a kid, I was the best basketball player,
right?
Best soccer player, fastest track athlete. So I was always into sports. And everybody I coached when I was doing personal training always enjoyed working with me.
Yeah.
So it's more like I was born to do this.
Right.
But the belief that I'm meant to do it, I'd say started about 3 years ago, 4 years ago,
okay.
That's when the belief started to shift. Like, I think I'm meant to do this, because everybody I met would always compliment me about it, but
right.
I just never believed in myself.
Never believed in yourself.
So I think it came from people actually telling me, you're good at this, you know,
yeah.
Go all out.
Yeah.
Getting a coach, you're good at this. You start to realize, maybe I'm playing too small. I need to go a little bit harder.
Right.
Yeah.
No, 100%. I think there's a lot that each of us can do personally before we put that out onto the world.
Of course.
And I want to know more about your personal journey. I know you mentioned that you went through stints of depression, if I'm wrong, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I know mental health and physical health has been a challenge in the past for you personally.
Yeah.
And having to overcome that and then pushing that out to other people and externalizing that eventually is a long process.
Yeah.
But I want to know about your personal journey and the beginning of that, how you faced adversity.
Well, when I first moved, because I lived in Ottawa before.
Okay.
And in Ottawa, I had everything. Dog, bought a house, owned a store, making a bunch of money.
Right.
Then I moved to Montreal. So I already had challenges mentally in Ottawa, but they never came to surface till I moved to Montreal. Because now I had no mom, no dad, no job, no money. I couldn't even pay my rent. Couldn't even buy food.
Right.
And then this big depression hit me where I tried committing suicide 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
And I said, after the 5th attempt, I said, clearly God wants me to stay. There's something up here. God has a bigger plan for me.
Yeah.
And I remember going to the hospital and the woman looks at me and she says, I tried slitting my wrist. And she looked at me and she goes, I don't think you want to kill yourself. I think you just need help. But if you come back here, we're going to send you to the big boy house. The big boy house is where like the real suicide attempted people go. Like the guys who have like a noose around their neck. Like guys
right.
who've like maybe even, I don't know, take pop pills or something. Right,
right, right, right.
And I thought about that. I was like, I don't want to go there. And then funny enough, the same day, one of my friends called me up because she knew I tried committing suicide. And she had gone to that place and she calls me crying. She goes, hey, Rome, I tried committing suicide. She said she took pills and she saw a ghost of her grandfather. I won't say her name, but it starts with an M.
Okay.
And she saw her grandfather, I guess, while she was, whatever was happening in that process.
Yeah.
And she called 911. They picked her up and they took her to this place. It's somewhere in Montreal. I forget the name.
Okay.
It's a big mental asylum where if you try and commit suicide, they put you there.
Okay.
And she told me when she got there, she's like, you want to see really messed up people? Go there. Like there's actual messed up people who are like talking to themselves, banging their head up against the wall, strafe jackets, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It scared the living daylight out of her that when she told me, I don't know what it was, but she didn't know at the time that I just come out the hospital.
Right.
So when she told me that, I remember it shook me to the core because the energy behind her voice when she was saying it was so like, what the fuck just happened? Pardon my French, but what the hell just happened there, you know?
Yeah.
And I made a decision in that moment. I said, I got to fix myself. So I went to see a therapist. No disrespect to therapist, but my therapist couldn't connect to me.
Okay.
And they put me on this pills, what's called Ciprolex, I think it was called. And I remember just saying, I took these pills, but they had an adverse reaction on me where no appetite, I was feeling low, I couldn't get happy.
Yeah.
And it's like for a month. And after a month, I'm like, screw this. I'm not going to take these pills no more. So I stopped seeing my therapist. I don't recommend it. Keep going. Maybe I should have told her. And I got the pills. I threw the pills away. I'm like, screw this. I'm not going to do this no more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Long story short, I got into reading. At the time, I couldn't even afford to buy a book. That's how messed up I was.
Right.
I'm going to a job I hate. I can't even afford to buy a book. And one day I was sitting at home and I said, okay, God, what does it take to make, you know, life work? And the intuitive voice inside of me said, the power of positive thinking. I'd heard of the book before.
Yeah.
So I go on my computer at the time. I couldn't even afford to get a book. Click the power of positive thinking. And I grew up religious. Now I consider myself spiritual.
Okay.
But the words that were spoken at the time resonated with me. This was 6-7 years ago.
Right.
And I read that book from cover to cover on my computer.
Right.
And something shifted in me. Now, at the time, I didn't know what I was doing. I went to work that Sunday. I was broke. I had no food. I think I had like 2 eggs that morning, you know?
Yeah.
I show up to work and I just say, you know what? I'm just going to be positive all day. Now, I didn't know what that was, but for some strange reason, every client that I dealt with was super nice to me that day. And in this book I read, it says before you interact with someone, you always want to say thank you 3 times for the interaction, because words of energy, and if you believe in quantum physics,
right,
that person could be in a bad mood, but if you send the right intention towards them,
yeah,
the energy is going to shift, right? I was like, okay, whatever. So every client, before they walked in, I'll be in the back of the store and I'll just say thank you, 3 times, and I'll go serve them.
Yeah.
And I'm in Montreal, so I'll get like French clients who don't like speaking English.
Yeah.
For some weird reason, everyone was super nice to me that day.
Okay.
And that week in the store I was working at, the average sales we do is like $2,000 to start the week. That's a great day.
Right.
I did like $4,000.
Wow.
And my boss, when he came, was like, what did you do? I'm like, I don't know, you know? And then the next day, I read this book called The Mental Diet. This was like the next day, and it's all about just, you go on a mental diet for 7 days where you don't entertain any negative thoughts. If a negative thought crosses your mind, you just cross it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for about 24 hours. And the next day I get into work, we have this competition where you're supposed to sell a certain amount of supplements in the store to win like a Fitbit.
Okay.
So my second client walks in and, you know, just regular customer. Yeah. He ends up spending, I think it was $1,500 in one buy. Now, that's impossible. That's never happened in the whole of Quebec. That never happened.
Yeah.
So my boss comes in. I'm like, dude, I think we won the competition. He's like, why? I was like, I just sold $1,500 of this one supplement we're supposed to sell. And he looked at the receipt. He's like, are you sure? He runs to the computer. He's like, bro, we just broke the record. Like, no one's ever done that in the region of Quebec before.
Yeah. But one sale.
One sale.
Holy.
So some of my brain started to link being positive,
yeah,
changing inside, something's changing outside. Because the book says when you change inside, the outside would reflect that whatever you're doing inside has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this is weird. And long story short, that's how my journey started into just reading more books, working on myself. And that's what brought me here.
Yeah. No, that's a super, super insightful story. I think there's a lot of people that deal with mental health in different ways.
Yeah.
Suicide is another and I'm grateful for you to share this on the show today. And suicide is one of those topics that so many of us know a friend or know a family member or know a family friend who have dealt with situations as such. I personally have dealt with my dad.
Yeah.
He has gone through severe stints of depression. Stints of possibly committing suicide as well, and these are things that I learned about him as an individual later in my life, and till today I'm still trying to understand his where he comes from and his way of dealing with adversity through his life. Definitely have lived different lives from him. We both grew up in Tanzania, but I'm living in Montreal now. I've had an international education, so there's definitely a level of exposure that I've had personally, way more than he has.
Sure.
And understanding where he comes from and dealing with mental health has been a big part of his life and now my life, because that's my dad and I have to take care of him eventually, and me understanding him is a starting point to getting to a better position in life.
For sure.
I want to know more about your experience with clients. Is every client different? Do you have a particular way of going about it? And how personal does it get?
Everyone's different. Everybody's different. You know, I get girl who's just gone through a divorce, baby daddy left her two kids, to the girl who's super positive, you know?
Yeah.
So it's hard, and I tell people, this big entrepreneur, I think I lose my mind 10 times a day.
Like, oh, wow, okay.
Because there's always, when everything's going right, something has to go wrong. Because I'm coaching over 30-something women right now.
Okay.
So there's always something that's just going to make you shake your head like, oh, man, I got to deal with this today. But it's part of being an entrepreneur. Yeah. So I'm super grateful for it. It doesn't frustrate me. But it's one of those things where when I'm dealing with someone, what I've learned is I have to really get to understand the person, not for what they're telling me, but what they're saying behind the scenes.
Hmm.
So they could tell me stuff like, I want to lose weight and just feel good about myself. And that's not a goal. Like, how much weight do you want to lose?
Yeah.
Well, I'm body positive. No, you're pre-diabetic. Body positive doesn't work if you're pre-diabetic. You know, you have to lose weight.
Because
I could be 400 pounds and say I'm body positive. But if I'm pre-diabetic or diabetic, that's not body positive.
Yeah.
I think doing hard things means, yeah, you might have to go on a diet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might have to lose 100 pounds maybe to get healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And body positive means do hard things which are going to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, yeah, unfortunately, you can't maybe eat 2 extra muffins tomorrow because you love yourself enough to not do that. If you have a pet and the doctor says, make sure you give your pet these 2 pills at 2 p.m. every day or the pet's going to die. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
at 2 p.m. every day, you're going to give the pet, right?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah.
You love the pet.
Right.
So if you love yourself, same principle. Don't eat 2 muffins because you're pre-diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've noticed most people I work with would rather take care of everybody else but themselves.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. That resonates with a lot of people, including myself.
Yeah.
I used to be obese as a kid.
Okay.
Super fat, but I was always into sports. Okay. I was always into playing as many sports as I could, being the leader on the pitch. I was very vocal, and that kind of resonates with what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
A lot of communication stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, I lost that weight. And it was always the same notion of I'm body positive. I'm okay with where I am.
Mm-hmm.
But if it influences your life in a negative situation,
there
has to be changes that you need to implement to justify how much you love yourself.
100%.
I want to know more about how you get to know your client. You said that you want to know more about what they say, what's behind those words that they're speaking.
Yeah.
How does that come? Does it come with time? Does it come with particular questions you ask them? Does it come with being in their space with them or taking them outside for a different experience or challenging them with different training techniques?
It takes time because some people don't open up really fast.
Yeah.
But I had a girl whose dad died during her weight loss journey. She ended up losing 54 pounds.
Wow.
But she got so comfortable enough, and she couldn't go for the funeral. He was in Mauritius and she couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
But she was so comfortable telling me that I knew exactly where she was mentally and how to push her.
Right.
But if my client doesn't tell me she's going through a breakup and I'm checking up on her, like, hey, why aren't you doing this?
Yeah.
I become that annoying coach. So some clients, it does take time. Mm-hmm. And other clients, it could take me 5 minutes to figure out who she is.
Have you faced, I know how you spoke about your therapist and how you said that therapist just didn't work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you faced that on the other scale of things where you may have not just worked for a client or just didn't click or they were suggesting a form of resistance towards that coaching?
Yeah, I've worked with a few people who I personally did not enjoy working with.
Okay. And why is that? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Just not coachable. Some people are not coachable.
Right.
And maybe it was me too. Maybe my approach wasn't what they wanted.
Yeah.
But I always take blame. I never blame anybody for anything. I said, look, maybe it's my fault. I could have done this better, done that better.
Yeah.
So if I'm in that situation where I worked with one girl about a month ago, actually, I just thought about her. I did everything in my follow-ups, was super friendly, every follow-up I'm supposed to do, but she would never respond to me.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, is it me or is it her?
Right. And is she still paying you whilst you're able to follow up and do
all those things? She was paying me, right?
Yeah.
And then once we're done our contract, she lost 10 pounds, by the way, too.
Okay.
So everything was going good.
Yeah.
But I don't know if she was afraid to tell me that maybe the program's too hard, maybe it's too easy, maybe she's going through something personal.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I always tell my clients that if you're going through something personal, tell me. I'm human.
Right.
I'm not going to bombard you with activities to do. Like I told a client of mine, I was going through something challenging. I told her, just don't work out for a week.
Okay.
Like just go on vacation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just don't work out. Don't track your food and just go spend time with your family. Go laugh more. Just go do something completely. Just forget about the gym.
Yeah.
Because your mental health is more important. But I always tell my clients I work with, the ones I get super close with, don't just make this about changing your body because you could look good.
Yeah.
But if you're messed up mentally, you know, it's like everybody wants a Lambo. But once you get a Lambo, I've had friends say, it's nice, but after like a month or two, you kind of get sick and tired of it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, nah, I don't want this. I just want like a SUV and I'm good.
Yeah.
So I tell my clients, like, work on your body. but keep working on your mind. Now, I don't know what that looks like. You could read a book if you hate reading, listen to a podcast, see a therapist, spend more time with your friends, you know, but whatever you do, you have to work on your mind.
Yeah. I was literally about to get to that. My question was going to be, how do you integrate mindfulness and mental well-being into your coaching practice? But you already mentioned a little bit about that. I think my experience with it growing up in Tanzania as a Muslim child was always, do well in school and then make sure you're at the mosque every Friday and you're doing your prayers. And that was sort of the element of mindfulness that we were exposed to.
Yeah.
I'm so glad and I'm very grateful that my dad, through his mental health journey, shared glimpses of that with me. He sent me to certain centers that advocated for meditation.
Yeah.
Beyond the religious boundary or constraint of any sort.
Yeah.
It was more about mindfulness for yourself, discovering your individuality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful that I went through that experience whilst my dad was going through his recovering journey of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same for a lot of your clients, or do you see a trend, whether it's podcasts, whether it's meditating, whether it's going on a walk with your dog, whatever that mindfulness looks like? Are you noticing patterns or trends that are changing over time?
Yeah, everybody's different. You know, if I'm working with someone super religious, I can't say go meditate. It doesn't make sense for them.
Right.
But if I say God wants you to be successful, it works differently.
Right.
But I work with clients who are not religious and they're more spiritual.
Yeah.
If I use the word meditation, that works.
Yes, the messaging.
Exactly, it's the messaging behind it. You know, always say if God wants to talk to you, he's not going to show you something from Christianity.
Because
it's not going to resonate with you.
Yes.
He's going to show you something from Islam that you resonate with.
Interesting.
And guess what? I'm not Muslim. So if I see something from Islam, I'll be like, what's that? It's like a cross. You'll be like, no, that means this in Islam.
Yeah.
But it's going to have a different message for you.
Right.
So I always tell people when I work with them is, I don't know what makes you change, but I don't recommend you take any drugs or you resort to vices like overindulgence of sex or all this stuff, which is good, but that's short term, takes away the pain, but the pain's gonna come back.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That whatever you do is gonna come. If you drink alcohol to numb the pain, well, guess what? When the hangover is done, the pain's gonna come back.
Yeah, that was getting me to my next question.
Yeah.
It's a good segue into it. Was about a lot of people look for that quick fix when it comes to their mental and physical well-being. It's like, I want to know the right strategy or the right quick fix. And I honestly, I'm guilty for that too.
Me too.
I always wanted that quick fix.
Me too.
But I know you've advocated so much on your socials about sustainable habits, tracking your daily intake, understanding your body before adapting to new methods of training or whatsoever.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about the importance of that sustainable habitual understanding of your body?
Well, first thing I always tell myself and tell my clients is, if you do something repetitively, it becomes second nature.
Right.
So if you're naturally an angry person or sad person, that's who you are. So it's like tracking your macros. You want to start to be very aware of the habits that don't serve you.
Yes.
So, for example, one of the habits I have is I'm on TikTok way too much. I spent 6 hours on TikTok.
Wow.
So instead of stopping that, what I do now is if I catch myself on TikTok, I read a book to get my dopamine rush. But that's just for me because I'm changing that one habit.
Yes.
So if I'm on TikTok, I stop. I physically will get my phone, throw it in my bedroom, and get a Tony Robbins book. And for 25 minutes, I'll put a timer and I'll read that book.
Okay.
So I'm starting to train myself that I would rather have this habit now, because no habit's bad or good, but if it's not serving you to get to where you want to get to, why are you doing it?
Right.
You know, if you want to lose weight and you're scrolling through TikTok whilst you're working out and on the treadmill, you're not going to burn as much calories.
Right.
But if you actually want to lose body fat, maybe when you go to the gym, put some music on, you say, you know, for the next 45 minutes, I'm not going to do this one habit that's not serving me. I'm just going to go all out of my workout.
Yeah.
So I tell everybody, every habit you have is second nature. You don't even think about it. Like, why do you brush your teeth with your right hand, not your left? You know what I mean? Why do you open the door with your right hand, not your left hand?
Yeah.
Why do you put on your shoes on the right side, not the left side?
Yeah, I hear you.
So everything we do is habitual with that. We don't even realize that we're doing the same thing over and over again, which is karma. And karma is nothing more than the repetition of the same problem, same things.
Right.
And then we pray to God, say, hey, God, help me. And God says, well, I can't really help you. You have to make new habits.
Yeah.
Change new things, right?
Yeah.
Maybe start going to church more, you know, depending on the person.
Fair enough. Yeah. I think it's been a great conversation so far. We're going to go into our second ad break of the session, and we'll be back with Coach Rome.
Bonesound is proud to present Shada Hayes. Discover the country folk of singer-songwriter Shada Hayes with Kindergarten Heart, an album as fun as it is profound. Available now on CD and colored vinyl. Shada Hayes will perform at Le Ministère on April 4th. for the Kindergarten Heart record release show, sharing the stage with her band and surprise guests. Tickets are on sale now. For more information and for all tour dates, go to boldsound.com.
And we're back at Beats and Beyond with Ari Najani and Coach Rome for episode 4, right here at CJLO. Rome, it's been an amazing conversation so far. We left off at sustainable habits and good practices best practices into getting to where you want to be in the future. I want to know something a little more personal, and I'm going to ask you a hypothetical question. What advice do you have for someone who's struggling to find a balance with their personal life, with work, with health? I know everyone says you need to find that right balance, but do you think that's the answer to it?
I think knowledge. You need to have a blueprint. So knowledge could be a mentor.
Okay.
A mentor is someone who's been through it before, and they'll tell you, like, don't, if you're trying to make a podcast successful, don't do that. Don't pay for YouTube ads. You know, don't do this. So I think knowledge is the first thing. Now, most people don't know how to accumulate knowledge, so we kind of freestyle everything. So what's worked for me, what I've been trying to change, is realizing that I'm ignorant right now, and the only way to break ignorance is getting educated. So educated for me could be reading a book about how to have work-life balance, you know? And I think God has been kind enough to inspire people to write books, to make podcasts about it, 4-hour work week. I don't know, whoever resonates with you. And I believe if you really want to find that balance, it has to become a burning desire mm-hmm. that you really have to want it mm-hmm. and know that, yeah, it might take you 6 months to do.
Yeah.
It might take you 2 months to do.
Yes.
But it's that desire to want to change first, because without desire, you're not going to change. You know, if you go to the doctor says you're 300 pounds and you're now you're diabetic, you have to change. So now the desire comes in. So guess what you do? You know how to lose weight, but all of a sudden you're on Google, I got to find a trainer. You find a trainer and he's going to say, I charge $2,000. I don't care. Let's make it happen.
Right.
So if you have the desire, it's the first thing you need. Once you have desire, seek out mentors, seek out knowledge. I think just go on YouTube, how to have work-life balance. You probably get a million hits.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking about knowledge, I want to know more about how you stay up to date with current trends and new techniques of adopting mm-hmm. positive training methods, maybe physically, mentally, so on. How do you stay up to date?
With myself?
Yeah.
I'm not hard on myself anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, I've realized that, as crazy as it may sound, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know? So
I love to hear that.
Yeah, that metaphor is just, I've learned to be kind to myself.
Yes.
You know? I don't expect to get, 20-inch arms in a year.
Yeah.
But here's the affirmation I have. I started training when I was... So when I was 19.
Okay.
One of my biggest regrets was that I stopped. I said to party more. So from 19 to 27, I was still working out, but not as serious.
Okay.
My friends who stayed consistent from 19 to 30, their physiques are phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I remember talking to a friend. I said, well, one day I'm going to be 40. And I've met people who are 40 mm-hmm. who look like they're 30.
Right.
So that's one thing I always work on when I'm training at the gym. I say, even if I didn't have a good workout today, because not every workout is a great workout,
yeah.
even if my food tracking was off, but if you're trying to go east and you take a break and you take 2 steps tomorrow, you get in a car, you drive 10 kilometers, eventually you're going to get your destination. So I've taken the pressure off that I have to look this way and know that one day I'll be 40, one day I'll be 50, one day I'll be 60. And that's what keeps me grounded when I catch myself trying to speed up the process.
Cool. That's interesting. I know you said you scroll through TikTok, so mm-hmm. I'm sure you see a lot of clients and a lot of people in general speak about their challenges,
yeah.
whether it comes to their body or their mental well-being.
Yeah.
In your opinion, what are the biggest health challenges we face as a society today?
Relationship with food.
Relationship with
yeah.
food.
Because I could find anything wrong with anything I eat.
Okay.
I could find something wrong with oatmeal if I look for it, something wrong with an apple, banana, water.
Right.
So I find that most people are so caught up with misinformation. And some people might say, my information is misinformation.
Right.
I was having a talk with this girl one day on Instagram, and I posted up croissant, and she hit me up. She's like, you know, there's white flour in there. It's bad for you.
Hmm.
I'm like, I'm from Africa. We eat a lot of white flour.
Like, almost in everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I think we're doing pretty good in Africa,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah,
except,
yeah.
And I thought about that. One day I posted up a glass of wine. So you could have a glass of wine if you want to, you know, lose weight.
Yeah.
And that message resonated with some people, and some people didn't like that message.
Hmm.
So I think the most challenging thing is just knowing that, this is what I preach, just change your relationship with food. I have nothing against more organic, vegans, keto. My only problem is that when people try shame you for following your own trend as if it's bad.
Right.
I had a client yesterday eating tilapia fish, and someone said to her, that's a bottom feeder fish, don't eat it, it's horrible. And she texts me at midnight, I don't want to eat tilapia fish because of this. It's like, okay, yeah. I got to deal with this now. Yeah, you know.
So. And you have to go through that whole routine of...
Yeah, exactly.
I always get that with my roommates. We speak about like brown rice, white rice, brown bread. Today, I still don't know what's the best thing to do and what's the best kind of bread to have.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that I have bread and I can afford to buy bread given the current prices of groceries today. Yeah. But it's very confusing, and I see why people need help. They need people like you in their lives to sort of give them the right knowledge and push them a little bit to get to those stages. And we're getting to the end of our conversation, but I want to know more about your ambitions for the future. I know you moved from Zambia to Ottawa to Montreal now, almost from a bottom-up journey, and you're at a position now today where I could say you're relatively satisfied with your mental and physical capabilities, so much so that you're helping other people realize that in their lives. Yeah. But where do you see yourself 5 to 6 to 10 years from now?
For sure, doing what I'm doing. I want my business to grow to a point where I have coaches under me who I work with, like an organization.
Yeah.
And my whole message is just change your relationship with food. I don't care what you eat, when you eat it. It's just understanding that one cookie is not going to make you gain fat. You
know, right.
Two cookies will make you gain fat.
Yes.
Because if my caloric deficit is 3,000 calories and I have to eat 3,000 calories, yeah, sometimes you might have to eat cookies and bread and certain things. But I always tell people like brown rice, white rice, what's the difference? One just has more fiber, right? And it's healthy. But I saw an influencer post up that brown rice is bad for you because it's cancerous. But brown rice has been around for millennials.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my whole message in the next couple of years is just to inspire women, primarily who I work with men too, is change your relationship with food, but most importantly, work on your mental health.
Okay.
Because I could give you the body of your dreams. I have a girl I coach right now. She has a phenomenal body, but mentally she's still struggling.
Right.
She meets same guy in a different body with a different hairstyle. Right?
You know what I mean? Yes, I understand.
Yeah,
I understand where you're coming from.
It's always like that. And I told her, I'm like, you have to change here. She's like, how do I change here? I said, well, you've been messed up for the last 10 years. So it might take you 2 years to change what's going on in here.
Right.
But it's a constant evolution. Keep training, keep working on yourself. So my whole thing is just help people with their nutrition and mindset. And once those two are combined together, you become unstoppable.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on here, Rome. I know you're a busy man and it's taken a lot to get you here, but I really appreciate this conversation.
Sure,
and I hope we can take this conversation to a visual side of things, hopefully in a couple of weeks or so. So stay tuned at Beats and Beyond with CJLO as we go to the next song by WizKid. It's been a pleasure, Rome. Thank you for being here.
All right. Thank you.
Where the party day? Where my people day? Where the shy day? We go make my feel alright tonight. When nobody day, now who go day? No throw away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No forget, say your dream no be happen for one night. Yeah. How many apples make you enjoy this life? Say no one life. Yeah, yeah. When the journey be the start, then go look, then go dislike. Yeah, yeah. Say no time, say man, they live like they man just like. Baby, cover me. Baby, cover me. Baby, cover me. Just for tonight. Cover me. Baby, cover me. Baby, cover me. The music do to me. She said, now the music make a bubble me. She said, my music got the hold on her. She said, my music got the hold on her. This life will use if you make you buy now. Life day with money can buy now. I don't think, I don't think, I don't try now. No be everything you see for like the young now.
Tonight, where the party day? Where my people day? Where the shy day? We go make my feel alright tonight. When nobody day, hey, now who go day? No throw away.
Yeah, yeah.
Baby cover me. Baby cover me. Baby cover me.
Been an amazing episode so far. I'm super grateful for Coach Rome for being on here today. There was a lot we had to talk about with our physical and mental well-being. There's a lot more in tune for you guys. I hope you all enjoyed the episode. I'm going to play out a couple more songs just to round us up. Let me know through my Instagram or through CJLO how much you just loved this episode today.
Girl, I like it, it's your lowest. The way you put it, just rotate it. Okay, your body necessary. What do you do? You go kill person. Oh, oh, no, no. I no go quick, I no go quick. You must give me that body. The way you put it down on me. Cause it's spiritual country. And balance it up on me.
Balance it up.
Bring it close and balance it up on me. Come over here. Balance it up on me.
Balance it up.
Bring it close and balance it up on me.
Alright, we're gonna transition to the last song of the episode. Thank you so much for tuning in from Montreal, from Kenya, from Tanzania, from the US. We have an audience from all around the world today. It's been an absolute pleasure serving you, and I hope you all enjoyed the type of conversations we're having. Soon enough, Beats and Beyond is gonna be a visual podcast, so stay tuned for that, and hopefully you're going to enjoy the next song that is the final song of the episode. It's been a pleasure. Beats and Beyond with Iron Ajani at CJLO. Thank you very much.
This banger not bad. Sometimes me, I got the shoes. So many girls for the boo. I say, Lou, if I catch you outside, you don't be. I'ma take you inside to my room. Anyhow, what you want, we go do. I said, me and you, we don't get problem. Say, nah, cash, see no be problem. This young girl, she go cause problem. Touch your toe.